Bibles and turn to the book of Ephesians chapter 5, please. We are continuing our study in the book of Ephesians. Ephesians chapter 5. Ephesians chapter 5, we'll begin reading at verse 6. Let no one deceive you with empty words. For because of these things, the wrath of God comes upon the sons of disobedience. Therefore, do not be partakers with them. For you were formerly darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Walk as children of light. For the fruit of the light consists in all goodness and righteousness and truth. Trying to learn what is pleasing to the Lord, do not participate in the unfruitful deeds of darkness, but instead even expose them. For it is disgraceful even to speak of the things which are done by them in secret. But all things become visible when they are exposed by the light. For everything that becomes visible is light. For this reason it says, awake, sleeper, and arise from the dead, and Christ will shine on you. Shall we pray? Our gracious Heavenly Father, I pray that the Word of God might go forth this morning so that only the truth of Your Word is seen and not the opinion of men. I pray that we would uphold Your truth. And Father, it's so easy when we come to this portion of our worship service to let our minds wander. We think of the busyness of life and all that there is to do, and we can become preoccupied. But oh, how I pray that Your Word might be illumined by the Holy Spirit, that He might work in the hearts of believers, bringing about conformity to You, conviction where conviction is necessary to build us up in our faith, to bring about encouragement where encouragement is necessary. For we pray in Thy name. Amen. As we look at the book of Ephesians, the book opens up in Ephesians chapter 1 with Paul, an apostle of Christ Jesus by the will of God, to the what? Saints, the holy ones, the saints. And then he begins to talk to you about all the blessings that you have. He chose you before the foundation of the world, that you would be holy and blameless before Him. You have redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of sins. We have so much to be thankful for as God's people. Then, in verse 15 of chapter 1, He begins to pray and intercede for the church of God, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give to you a spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of Him. Then, in chapter 2, He indicates that we have been passed from death to life. You were dead in your trespasses and sin. You formerly walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air and of the spirit that is now working in the sons of disobedience. Among them we too all formerly lived in the lust of our flesh, indulging in the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature children of wrath, even as the rest. But there's been a change. If you know Christ as Savior. As the Apostle Paul talks about the walk in chapter 4, because of what you are, because of what you have in Christ, therefore I, the prisoner of the Lord, implore you to walk in a manner worthy of the calling which you have been called. That you are to have humility and gentleness, and we talked about all these things, that we are united in Christ and through Him. And then in chapter 5, he continues to talk about the walk. Therefore, be imitators of God as beloved children to what? Walk in love. And the whole theme and context of the book of Ephesians is, in a nutshell, is first of all, you've got to recognize what you have in the Lord Jesus Christ. Saved, redeemed, the forgiveness of sins that you have, and because of what you are, should be displayed. And so this morning when I talk to you about a radiant Christian, I do not necessarily mean joy, although that certainly is part of it. 1 John has written, these things we write unto you so that you can have that joy. Joy may be full, but I mean radiant, to shine brightly, to issuing from a source. That's what it means, radiant, to issue from a source as a ray. The source is Christ. And if you are a believer and Christ is in you, you're concerned about Him and His glory. You're not concerned about yourself, or you should not be. It's so easy for us to be selfish. It's so easy for us to slip the old spiritual life in neutral and to focus upon us, my hurts, my needs, me, me, me. But no, the radiant Christian should be concerned about Him and Christ and who He is. And so I want you to see, first of all, as we talked last week, that if you are a believer, you shouldn't have sexual immorality in your life. There shouldn't be any kind of impurity or greed. And that sexual immorality, and understand this please being vague, that anything outside the consent of a couple is sin. It's that anything beyond a mutual agreement between a husband and wife is sin. So even within marriage, if there is the pleasure of self, it's sin. There is the mutual consent of a husband and wife. So you shouldn't have any kind of immorality. You shouldn't have any kind of impurity. There must not be greed or covetousness. It shouldn't be named among you. It's contrary to who you are in Christ. So don't talk like them. And for this you know with certainty that no immoral or impure person or covetous man who is an idolater has an inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and God. And what that means is, if your life is habitually characterized by these things, that is cause for great concern. And examine yourself whether you are in the faith. And so then he continues then in verse 6, and I open up the discussion this morning with the radiant Christian. Let no one deceive you with empty words, for because of these things the wrath of God comes upon the sons of disobedience. If you want to be a radiant Christian that exhibits Christ, you will be concerned of philosophies or teaching that minimizes the light, that is, the light of Jesus Christ. You're not going to want to have any part with a philosophy that would minimize that life, light. What does it mean to deceive? You're convinced that something is true that really isn't true. You think it's true. It sounds good. But it really isn't. We should not be deceived. How are we deceived according to this text? By empty words. Words that are contrary to Scripture. Words that go against what God says. Folks, the Bible is truth. Thy word is truth. We are living in a world that says there are no absolutes. But I submit to you there are, and they're found here. Thy word is truth. And if something goes contrary to the word of God, it's not accurate, and you can be deceived. Colossians chapter 2, see to it that no one takes you captive through philosophy and empty deception according to the tradition of men, according to the elementary principles of the world, rather than according to Christ. Well, deception and empty words about what? Philosophy and the tradition of men. Well, people say today, we need to live together prior to marriage because we have to see if we're compatible. It sounds good. That way, if things don't work out, we don't have to pay the divorce attorney and we can just kind of go our way and then everything will be fine. Except that's not what God says. And I can't preach last week's message about marriage being commitment. I'll preach that when I get to verse 25 again. So you'll just have to hear some of that over. It's founded upon a commitment. Young people, you're going to be told, everybody's doing it. It must be okay. Everybody's not doing it. Not everybody is looking at pornography. Okay, your dedication should be to your wife. Your wife. Adultery, it seems so pleasant. I remember as a boy, not that this is the worst thing that you can ever do, but I'm just trying to illustrate something here. We were, walking through the woods, my buddies and I, and we found a pack of Winston. And we had never smoked before in our life. So we're like, cool. Let's smoke a few. So there we were, hiding out in the woods, and you're ready to take your first puff. And you can imagine, I was just, and then all of a sudden, I'm not doing that again. I'm not doing that again. But sin's not necessarily like that, per se. There's an element of drug addiction, which for the moment is pleasant. It's fun. There's an element of adultery, which is fun. Proverbs chapter 5 says, the lips of an adulteress drip honey, but in the end, she is bitter as gall. Have you ever heard someone say, I am so glad that I caused pain in my family's life. Could I do that again? And if I could, I would. Have you ever heard anyone say that? Have you ever said, and I know everything is under the blood. I mean, no, I do not necessarily want to dredge up the past. That's not what I mean by this next comment. I do not want to offend by it. But have you heard anyone say, divorce is cool? No, it hurts. It is painful. It's painful. Uncleanness. Don't have any part of immorality in your life. Empty words. Uncleanness. Doesn't matter what you look at. Other guys do it. Psalm 101:3. I will set before my eyes no vile thing. The deeds of faithless men I hate, they will not cling to me. Now when you begin to think about all these things that are contrary to the Word of God, I mean, what is the big deal? I mean, couldn't we adopt the philosophy that it's easier to ask forgiveness than permission? Everything's under the blood. If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins, rightly so. So, it can't be that big of a deal. Look at verse 6. Paul says, it's going to seem okay, and you can be deceived into a wrong philosophy. And so if you are, do not be deceived with empty words. For because whatever you sow, you will reap. Is that true? Whatever you sow, you will reap? Yeah, I mean, Paul said that in the book of Galatians, chapter 6, verse 7. Do not be deceived, God is not mocked, for whatever a man sows, that will he also reap. But that's not what he said here. I mean, he really went beyond that thought when he said, because of these things. What, the empty words? Is it the empty words that God's all upset about? Because of the empty words, the wrath of God comes upon the sons of disobedience? No. Because of the things that would characterize them. Now, before we as God's people put on our church coat and think, you know, I'm so much better than they are. We're like the Pharisee, Lord, I'm so thankful that I am not as other men are. Lest we think that, we must go back and look at Ephesians 2, which I read for you when we did the review. You were dead in your trespasses and sins, in which you formerly walked according to the course of this world. Paul's saying, you know what your sinful condition was like prior to coming to Christ? You walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, of the spirit that is now working in the sons of disobedience. And among them, we too all of us, formerly lived in the lusts of our flesh, indulging the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature, what? Children of wrath. We are born sinners, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. We do not naturally do what is right. You take your spiritual life and you put it in neutral, you're going to be in trouble. You're going to be in trouble. Because you will find yourself naturally doing what is wrong. So, no, all of us are the object of wrath. All of us are. But that seems so harsh that of these things the wrath of God comes upon the sons of disobedience. Is God a God of love or a God of wrath? God is a God of love. And at the same time, a God of wrath. But I would urge you and caution you in how you piece those things together. There is a book called The Shack by William Young. And while my heart goes out to him, I would caution you if you have read the book, it is for the person who is doctrinally sound. It is doctrinally sound because there are some things there which are cause for great concern. And so, while at the same time, it is fiction. It's fiction. It's a fictional book. It's not a theological read. But yet, he's teaching and intending to teach some theological truths. It is endorsed by Eugene Peterson, Michael W. Smith. Most of you have heard of his name, and it is receiving many, many words of praise. But I just want to submit to you a caution if you choose to read the book. Be careful. Just be careful. If it is used in your life to temper your walk with God in such a way that you can grab a hold of the love of God, and God uses it in that way, He's going to do so in spite of, and I say this kindly, error. And I reason why I'm bringing this up, because it's in relationship to our text. Without giving the whole backdrop, the main character in the book is having a discussion with God. Mac is his name. Mac says, "Do you ever get mad at any of them?" That is, speaking of his children or of people. "Yes, what parent doesn't? There's a lot to be mad about in the mess my kids have made and the mess they're in. I don't like a lot of choices they make. But that anger, especially for me, is an expression of love all the same. I love the ones I'm angry with just as much as those I'm not. So far, so good." But Mac paused. "What about your wrath? It seems to me that if you're going to pretend to be God Almighty, you need to be a lot angrier." "Do I now?" "Well, that's what I think. Weren't you always running around killing people in the Bible? You just don't seem to fit the bill." "I understand how disorienting all this must be for you, Mac, but the only one pretending here is you. I am what I am. I'm not trying to fit anyone's bill." "But you're asking me to believe that you're God, and I just don't see..." Mac had no idea how to finish his sentence, so he just gave up. "I'm not asking you to believe anything, but I will tell you that you're going to find this day a lot easier if you simply accept what is, instead of trying to fit it into your preconceived notions. But if you are God, aren't you the one spilling out great bowls of wrath and throwing people into burning lake of fire?" Mac could feel his deep anger emerging again, pushing out the questions in front of him, and he was a little chagrined at his own lack of self-control. But he asked anyway, "Honestly, don't you enjoy punishing those who disappoint you?" At that, Papa, who is female in the book, stopped her preparations and turned toward Mac. He could see a deep sadness in her eyes. "I am not who you think I am, Mackenzie. I don't need, here's where I want you to get a hold of, I don't need to punish people for sin. Question I'm asking," this is a statement in the book, "sin is its own punishment, devouring you from the inside. It's not my purpose to punish it, it's my joy to cure it." Is sin its own punishment? On the one hand, you could say that. You reap what you sow. There is an element of truth in that statement. But would God say sin is its own punishment? Is sin its own punishment? I cause... When I look at Ephesians chapter 5, it brings to me in my mind a great question. You see, as a pastor, all that I have to give you is this. My words mean nothing. And it's not about me. And if I say anything that is contrary to the doctrine that is found in the Word of God, I have stepped outside what He says and I've entered into the realm of my opinion. And you know what? My opinion is not even worth 2 cents. It's not. So what do you tell someone that perhaps would be an adulterer? Sin is its own punishment, and God still loves you. What does it mean when Scripture says, "Let no one deceive you with empty words, for because of these things, the wrath of God..." The wrath of God comes upon the sons of disobedience. What do you do if you are a sinner and you find yourself trapped in a world where you feel like you cannot get out of, and you recognize that it is sinful, but yet you do not know what to do? You go to the cross. For God so what? Loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in Him should not perish but have everlasting life. The wrath of God was poured out upon His own Son, Jesus Christ. You indeed in the past were the sons of disobedience. You should have been the object of His wrath. And to not balance out love with wrath is to minimize His love. Greater is His love if you see that He sent His own Son, made the Son His the object of His wrath, and in spite of whatever you might do, He continues to love you. There is nothing that you can do that would separate you from the love of God. But you should have been there on the cross of Calvary. But Jesus died in your place and suffered the wrath of His Father. And everything is under the blood. Can you really explain that? Can you wrap your head around that kind of love? But God demonstrated His love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. You filter everything through this life. That all of life circumstances that you go through, it doesn't matter how dark, it doesn't matter how bleak, you deserve an eternity in hell. And while some might try to tell you your best life now and reduce the blessing of God, and I'm not saying you should do this, as you're going through the parking lot, dear Lord, help me to find a parking spot. And so the odds are you found one close enough. And you say, great, God's blessed me today. But then you didn't. God didn't bless me today. When you look at the cross and what you deserve, and you're going to compare it to finding a parking spot, you got to be kidding me. And so you realize that it doesn't matter what happens in this life. You have so much more waiting for you in eternity. God is always good. And you should, as a believer, look forward to that day when you shall see Him, the Lord Jesus Christ, your Savior. It all points to Him. It doesn't matter what this life holds. If you have the time, you should go to deathisnotdying.com. When you say that, web addresses kind of minimize things, make life, but it is the testimony of a woman named Rachel Barkey. I think that's how you say your last name. She's 37, mother of two, and she's not expected to live. Right now, she's in the window of, well, you've got this minimum amount of time, but maximum here. And the maximum was less than a year. She's in that window right now. And she's 37, and she's got terminal cancer, and she's dying. Is sin its own punishment? She didn't sin. But she's suffering because of sin in general. We live in an imperfect world. You listen to her testimony. 4 points. Know God, know yourself, know the gospel, and know your purpose. You listen to that. Give it to your friends. If they're dying of cancer and they don't know the Lord, get a tape of that and hand it to them. What do you say to a woman like that? It's not fair. But when you say, but I should have been dead already. Every breath I take is by the grace of God. And God is telling us through the Apostle Paul, guess what? Don't be partakers with them. It is so contrary to what you are in Christ. So let no one deceive you with empty words, for because of these things the wrath of God comes upon the sons of disobedience. Do not be partakers with them. You know why? Because you're different. I let the water in the horse trough get too low the other day. And there's the goldfish. You know those expensive 10-cent kind at Walmart? Oh man, I killed the goldfish. And so some of them were kind of like, just in the bottom of the, you know, just barely getting any kind of air. But some were like, I mean, gone. No hope. I mean, if you were happened to find yourself in the little muck in the corner, you're okay. Well, what if I took that fish and I brought it out of the water and I said, water, and I said, you know, come on, be a dog, bark, hop along, get some feet, you know, quick evolutionary activity. Come on, fish, wag your tail, bark, bark, bark. Doesn't work. A fish needs the water because it's a what? A fish. And because you are a Christian and you have been born again, made a child of God, you were formerly darkness, but now you are light in the Lord, and so walk as children of light. You, if you want to be a radiant Christian, you are going to be first of all concerned about the philosophies of this world that would distract you from that purpose. And secondly, you will want to produce the most light by your manner of living. You are light in the Lord. Walk as children of light. Jesus Christ is the light. This is a picture of contrast here. In Him was life, and life was the light of men. This was the true light which coming into the world enlightens every man. Jesus Christ is the light. 1 John chapter 1, verse 5. This is the message we have heard from Him and announced to you, that God is light, and in Him there is no darkness at all. So we learn, first of all, why did the apostle choose this imagery? Because of the great contrast there is between light and darkness. Just as the contrast of this little screen up here between the font that is white and the background that is black, it should be that distinct in its contrast. Because light emanates from the holy character of God. It is who He is. Revelation chapter 22, verse 5, and there will be no longer any night. They will not have need of light of the lamp nor light of the sun, because the Lord God will illumine them, and they will reign forever and ever. Light is moral perfection and goodness. John 3:19, this is the judgment, that the light has come into the world and men love darkness rather than light because their deeds were evil. He didn't say, walk as children of the dusk. Did He? So it's okay. You can name Christ and play around with worldly stuff. It's cool. Doesn't matter. Dusk, the dim part of twilight. I got one of those newfangled fluorescent bulbs. What a klutz. I took the package, got it home, and it was the fluorescent kind where the bulb, you know, has an outer thing of glass so you don't see those ugly curlicues. You don't want to see the ugly curlicue. So cover up the ugly, unsightly curlicue with some glass, and I'm holding the package and I dropped it on the floor. Oh, man. So it's kind of hidden where it goes anyway, so all right. Took it out. I dropped out. Oh, yeah. Folks, the thing's less than a week old. I go to turn the light on. Like sputtering. What is this? And finally, bing! It woke up and it was bright. Some of you, when you walk with God, you're kind of like that fluorescent bulb, sputtering along. I think I can. I don't know. I'll play around with sin. It doesn't matter. But get a hold of Christ. The world tells you that that's where happiness is. Go after things. That's cool. But for you, the believer, your ultimate joy is Christ and who He is. You think that it'll be okay to go ahead and live together. That somehow that's cool. But it's not. Don't play around with sin. Don't be children of the dusk. Be children of the light. Romans chapter 13. Romans chapter 13, 12 through 14. The night is almost gone and the day is near. Therefore, let us lay aside deeds of darkness and put on the armor of light. Let us behave properly as in the day, not in carousing and drunkenness, not in sexual promiscuity and sensuality, not in strife and jealousy, but put on the Lord Jesus Christ and make no provision for the flesh in regards to its lust. So therefore, if in your conduct, your manner of living, you want to produce the most light, you will produce fruit. It must and you must manifest the right fruit. For you were formerly darkness, but now you're light in the Lord. Walk as children of the light, for the fruit of the light consists in what? Goodness and righteousness and truth. Goodness, moral excellence, righteousness, to act in a just, upright manner. Truth, conformity to fact. Accurate truth. Does it conform to this book? Your life should. Colossians chapter 1 verse 10, so that you walk in a manner worthy of the Lord, to please Him in all respects, bearing fruit in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God. Do you behave honestly? If you happen to get a drink at Costco and then you get some change and you reach down there for your 50 cents, but you actually find $1.50 in quarters, do you, A, pocket the extra dollar? B, split it between Costco and yourself, saying 50-50, why not? Or C, give it all to the guy by the counter? Someone I know had that happen to them. I'm so glad I gave it to the counter. I don't know if I could to the Costco guy. Do you use an uncanceled stamp from the post office? I don't know. I mean, I do know what I would do, but nobody's going to know except God. Are you trying to magnify Him? Does your life conform to the truth of the Word of God? There is so much philosophy out there that's contrary to it. A particular individual who is running for the presidency of the United States, but we won't mention any names, who made it. The name is not important, nor is the political party. But in the event that his children made a mistake, he wouldn't want to punish them with the child. That's a quote. If in the church that were to happen, and someone made a mistake, it would not be a punishment to have a child. Would that the church would support, in spite of what would happen, and my counsel would be a mom and dad. Because there was one wrong, don't make it two. But it sounds so compassionate. Oh? Are you, as a believer, trying to magnify the Lord in your life? Look at what it says. You were formerly in darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Walk as children of the light, for the fruit of the light consists in all goodness and righteousness and truth. Trying to learn what is pleasing to the Lord. This is not so much the fact of I'm just trying to find out what pleases Him. I'm not sure if it does or not, but you know, maybe it does. So since I still have this question, I'll still do it anyway. And that's not the thrust. The thrust is that you examine it. It's not trying to learn in the sense of I can't comprehend it and quite get it. It's just saying you examine it, you prove it to be so. You test to test oneself by self-examination. That's what this means. It is exactly what Paul meant when he said in Romans chapter 12 and verse 1. Therefore I urge you, brethren, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies a living and holy sacrifice acceptable to God, which is your spiritual service of worship. Don't be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, so that you may prove what that will of God is. That which is good and acceptable and perfect. And when the thinking comes along that says, don't live out according to God, you say, I can't do that. If it is contrary to God's word, even if I struggle, even if I'm questioning why do I even have these thoughts, I'm going to measure them according to God's word, and I will get a hold of the word of God, and I will live for Him because I am a child of light, and you live out what you are. If a fish is a Christian in my illustration, be a fish. Don't be a dog, even though dogs are more cool. And because of what you are, Paul says in verse 11, don't participate in the unfruitful deeds of darkness, verse 11, but instead even expose them, for it is disgraceful even to speak of the things which are done by them in secret. So you will want to permeate the light I don't know why. Is it a guy thing to kind of, if the wife says there's a problem and then the guy just kind of tries to, you know, sweep it under the rug and, you know, kind of like I'll deal with it later kind of excuse? Does that ever happen to you? It never happens in our home. Oh, it's my fault to a T. I think my wife was first exposed to it when we were living in South Carolina. And we saw a couple cockroaches. I said, honey, they're just outside cockroaches. What a dunce. Time to call the exterminator. But I mean, you know, you start turning on the light and they scurry. And you know when they do that, but if you can actually hear them, you know, then you know, I think I have too many. So the exterminator comes And he starts spraying that stuff. And suddenly, whoosh! My wife was never so more embarrassed in all her life. She's about, I'm thankful I'm still alive. But when you're a child of light, it's like getting rid of the cockroaches in a sense. You throw on the light and the cockroaches go pow, and they scurry. The effect of your light, of your life, should be like turning on the light in the room and the cockroaches scattering. In other words, if people feel comfortable sinning around you, there's a problem. Do not participate in the unfruitful deeds of darkness, but instead even expose them. For it is disgraceful even to speak of the things which are done by them in secret. How do you talk in private? All things become visible, verse 13, when they are exposed by the light, for everything that becomes visible is light. When you permeate the light, first of all, in verse 11, you want to have distinction, no fellowship with it, no camaraderie. Instead, you want to reprove that light and expose it. And you're going to be concerned about your speech, your private conversation, because you know Jesus is there and you're a child of the light. And if anything, it is wrong. All things become visible when they are exposed by the light in verse 13. So everything in your life is an open book. Full disclosure. For everything that becomes visible to you is light. It's Christ and Him alone. If you are a child of the light, the question is this morning, are you living out what you are? Are you living out what you are, or are you being deceived by the world's philosophy? Every head bowed and every eye closed. Young person, are you going to commit yourself to living for Christ, because in the schools and in that you're going to are totally contrary to what the Word says? They are teaching you philosophies that are contrary to God and His Word. What's it going to be? Are you going to stay pure until you're married? Adult, you're living in a world which is trying to feed you philosophies that are contrary to the Word. Is it Jesus and the light of the Word or not? What's it going to be? Will you get a hold of the infinite love of God? Because Jesus was the object of His wrath for you. Our gracious Heavenly Father, would You seal this message in our hearts this morning? For we pray it in Thy name. Amen.